following message was given by brothers Osmar Suarez and Peter Yu in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, July 8th, 2018. The title of the message is The Signs in John 10 and 11. Scripture reading, John chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, 7 through 11, and 14 and 15. John chapter 11, verse 17, 21 through 26, 35 through 37, and 41 through 44.
Lord, we open our hearts to you. Amen. To be shepherd once again. Amen. By your speaking. Amen. By your life. Amen. We love you, Lord. Amen. We treasure you this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We are covering here in the church in New York City the book, The Fulfillment of the Tabernacle and the Offerings in the Writings of John. And this week we are covering the signs on chapter 10 and chapter 11 of the book of John. I am going to share only on one point on chapter 10. Then our brother Peter will share his burden. But before we speak of chapter 10, we have to consider chapter 9. Because chapter 9 and chapter 10 in the Bible are actually one complete section. And that section is concerning the need of the blind. And the need of the blind in religion. Not just the outward miracle of giving sight, but speaking of something spiritual. As we are seeing this fulfillment of these signs point to a reality. And the reality is in Jesus. So these signs speak of spiritual matters. So the need here of the blind is a need of the blind in religion. And these needs are two. One is covered in chapter 9, and another is covered in chapter 10. In chapter 9, it's covered life's giving sight. Hallelujah, life gives sight. And in chapter 10, we see life's shepherding. We need the shepherding of his life. Amen. Amen. So let's begin reading a verse on John chapter 10. How about we read those verses? Let's read those verses on chapter 10 all together. Praise the Lord. The Lord is the door. Amen. He himself says so in verse 7, I am the door of the sheep. But in religion, again, where this is related to chapter 9, the need of the blind in religion, it is considered that this door is the door to heaven, that Christ is the door to heaven. But this concept of heaven cannot be applied here. Because in verse 9, it says that I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved and shall go in and shall go out. Amen. And shall find pastures outside of heaven. So this concept of heaven cannot be applied here. So the word here is speaking of Christ as the door and Christ as the pastures. But the sheep has been kept in the sheepfold. So first we need to understand what is a sheepfold. I didn't know anything about sheep, so thank God for the life studies and the book that we're reading, so I understand now a little bit. But what a sheepfold is a place where the sheep are kept when the pastures are not available during the winter or during the night. So when day comes in, the sheep goes out to the pastures. So this speaks actually of the law given by God through Moses. And the Judaism religion was keeping the law. And that was actually provided for the Lord to keep God's people as his flock until the Lord came. When the Lord Jesus came as the real shepherd and the real pastor, then there is no longer a need for the fold. Now Christ is the door to go out of the fold into the pastors. But also to the saints in the Old Testament, Christ was the door to come in. So Christ is eternal. He is the eternal God. For the saints in the Old Testament to go in, Christ was the door to be in the fold. But once Christ came, hallelujah, Christ came. Amen. Grace and reality came. Amen. So now there's no longer need for the sheepfold. In other words, we don't need to keep the law. We need to eat Jesus as the pastors. And actually, that is what the Bible says. This is not just the Brother Lee's interpretation. This is what the Bible says in Galatians 3. Can we read the verses on Galatians 3? I think the brothers have them up there. 3:23 through 25. I can read them for you. It says, "But before faith came, we were guarded under law, being shut up unto the faith which was to be revealed." 24. "So then the law has become our child conductor unto Christ, that we might be justified out of faith." 25. "But since faith has come," hallelujah, faith has come, "we are no longer under a child conductor." We no longer need to be kept under the law. Now the Lord as the door is our freedom to go into the pastors and eat him. In Psalm 23, we read that Jehovah is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. So the pastures are green because they are full of life. Christ is full of life. So we no longer have to be under the fold. So we are in Christ. We have believed into him. We are in Christ. Hallelujah. And we praise the Lord this morning that those who are in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So we're not in the fold. We are in Christ Jesus. But subjectively in our experience, we might fall into a religious practice, trying to keep the law. And by this practice of trying to keep the law, we will kind of go back into the fold in our experience. This was the case of the Galatians. They were believers, but they were trying to keep the law. And the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to them to save them, that they didn't need to keep the law. Because to try to keep the law is a natural effort by the flesh. This is an open declaration. I don't need a savior. I can save myself. I can fulfill the law. So when we try to do good, we have to remember this principle. Oh, Lord, I just need you, Lord. Amen. Even many times we're discouraged when we fail. But we have to remember, Christ is the overcoming one. It's not my victory. It's the Lord's victory. Amen. It is because of the Lord's victory we are here this morning. Amen. So we do not forsake the grace. Amen. We do not forsake the faith. And we do not try to fulfill the law by the effort of the flesh, amen, but by the faith in the Spirit. Amen. By eating Jesus. Amen. We have sung so many times, eating Jesus is the way. Amen. He became the door so that we can go out and eat him as the green pastures. So we see there are three things: the door, the shepherd, and the pastures. Christ is our door to be our freedom. Praise the Lord, we are free from all the keeping of the law, from all ordinations, from all the commandments, and we are free in Christ to go out and to eat him as the pasture. But he is also our shepherd. And this is the point that I like to stress. He is our shepherd. You know, in Matthew 9, the Lord saw the crowds. And it says there in verse 36, I believe, that he was moved with compassion. Because he knew that these people in the crowds were with many needs. But he was moved with compassion. Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. But we are sheep with a shepherd. Amen. Praise the Lord, we have a shepherd. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen. lack nothing. Praise the Lord. So concerning the shepherd in chapter 10, we read on verse 10, I think you have it, verse John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal and kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and may have it abundantly. And in verse 14, it says that the Lord said, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. The Lord knows who we are. The Lord knows where we are. The Lord knows our weaknesses. The Lord knows our situations. And He wants to shepherd us in that particular situation. And He has shepherded us. He shepherded us in the way of life, with His life. Verse 10, we read that He came that we may have life and have it abundantly. This life is not the human life. We have the human life already, but the life of God. And this life is the Zoe life, the life of God that is uncreated, eternal, divine, death-conquering, overcoming life. This is the life of God that the Lord desires us to have abundantly through His shepherding. And in the ministry, we read that on the one hand, this shepherd now lives in us. But on the other hand, we live in Him. And we can live now by Him, with Him, and through Him. Amen. This is on your morning watch sheet on Tuesday. I really enjoy this point because it is true. He is in us, but we are also in Him. And we can live now by Him. Living by Him means that we have another life to live by. We don't have to live by our fallen, weak life. We have the life of God within us, the life of the shepherd, for us to live by Him. But we also live with Him. Sometimes we are not conscious of this, but He is with us all the time. We're never alone. In whatever situation we're going through, He is with us. Even when we're doing what we're not supposed to, the Lord's still with us. He cannot depart from us. He's mingled with us in our spirit. This is why the Apostle Paul spoke to the Ephesians, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit cannot depart from us. And whatever we do or wherever we go, the Lord as our shepherd is always with us. This reminds me of the story in Luke 24 of the disciples that were going away from Jerusalem to this village called Emmaus. And they were leaving Jerusalem when they were told not to leave Jerusalem. They needed to stay in Jerusalem until the day of Pentecost. But they were afraid. The Lord was just being crucified. They were afraid and they were leaving to Emmaus. And the Lord joined them. But they didn't recognize Him. So as they are walking away from where they're supposed to be, the Lord's still with them with His shepherding heart. And He explained the scriptures from Moses through all the law to them. And then they got to a place where they break bread. And when the Lord Jesus is breaking the bread, then He recognized Him. And then He disappeared. And then they have an interesting conversation. That's Luke 24, verse 30. Let me read those verses. 32 and 33. They said to one another, there was these two disciples, was not our heart burning within us while He was speaking to us on the road, while He was opening to us the scriptures? So many times we're walking away from the Lord, walking away from the meetings, walking away from the church life, in whatever circumstances we are, but the shepherd is still with us. Amen. Seeking the opportunity to speak to us in the scriptures, to make our heart warm again, to even burn in our heart. And then this causes something. It's the next verse. This cause, and they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem. Amen. Oh, we need to return to the shepherd, an overseer of our heart, of our souls continually. This is an exercise that we need to experience daily. So the Lord is with us in every circumstance we're going through, in every weakness we are facing. The shepherd is with us. And it says also that we live through Him. I enjoy this because When we don't live through him, we live ourselves. And we're not actually living. We're actually dying. You know, when we celebrate a birthday, it's actually not one more year. It's 1 year less. We have to live. Because we're not, and this is through Christ, we're not really living. We're actually dying. Oh, but the shepherd is in us. For us to live in him, by him, with him, and through him. Praise the Lord for such a shepherd. This reminds me also of this wonderful verse in the Bible. Genesis 48 verse 15 is the story of the end of the life of Jacob, whom now has been transformed into Israel. The supplanter became now the Israel who wrestled with God and was blessed by him. He said in Penuel, where he saw God face to face, he said, "I will not let you go until you bless me." Oh, we should be these Israels, that we every morning when we're with the Lord, we will not let him go until he bless us. Lord, I will not let you go until you bless me with your presence, with hope, with faith. All of these are our dear Lord Jesus himself. Amen. And then in that verse is the end of the life of Jacob, now Israel. He said, "The God who has shepherded me all my life to this day." And if you read the whole story, his life was not a very pretty one. He was first persecuted by his brother because he stole his birthright. He was going to kill him and he had to run away. And then he worked for Laban 7 years for his beloved Rachel, but he was given her older sister. So he was deceived by Laban. So he had to work 7 more years for Rachel. And then Laban changed his salary 10 times to his disadvantage, of course, but the Lord kept him in his shepherding heart. And then finally he leaves that place and goes to the land of his parents. And in the way, Rachel dies, giving birth to his last son, Benjamin. And he had to suffer the loss of his beloved. And from Rachel he has Joseph and Benjamin. And then he had to suffer so much with all his sons, including the selling of his beloved Joseph. They sold Joseph and was taken as a slave to Egypt. But to him it was told that he was killed by a beast. How much suffering he went through. And then at the end there was a famine, there was a shortage of food, and they needed to go to Egypt. And now in Egypt, Joseph was the ruler there. And the brothers came and he asked, "Do you have a younger brother?" Speaking of Benjamin, "Bring him here." And they have to bring him. So imagine how much suffering Jacob went through, saying goodbye now to his other son, because then they later couldn't return him. But anyway, at the end of his life, all these sufferings, he's not complaining. There's no bitterness in his heart. But what he has to say is, "The God who has shepherded me all my life to this day." So many times we will prefer that the Lord will come in into our situation and fix it. But sometimes the Lord doesn't do that. He wants us to go through the situation to actually experience him as life within, to shepherd us with the real life, with the eternal matters. Oh, this passage really, really touched me, because Jacob saw, he saw that there was a God in this universe and that his life has been predestinated in a way. Everything was divinely and sovereignly arranged for God to gain him. And our case is the same. We may have matters to complain. We might have weaknesses that we like to be delivered from. And the Lord knows it. And he is the God of this universe. And he is our shepherd. He is our shepherd forever. Amen. He is such a shepherd. He lives in us, and he desires us that we will live in him, by him, with him, and through him. Amen. Praise the Lord that we experience his shepherding for the rest of our lives. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Just came back from the very joyful summer training, and just coming with the saints. I even forgot my jacket, I'm sorry. Do you prefer our Lord to be your Lord or to be your servant? Many times we will say, you are my Lord. As a matter of fact, from chapter 9, chapter 10, and chapter 11, we prefer him to be our servant. And the servant with full obedience to our needs, we can command him to come over here or go there. In our hearts, saints, don't you have that desire? I wish I could have such a servant. Such a servant with the power, with ability, with everything. If I have the Lord as my servant, I will open up a bread store, a bakery, right? I will open up a hospital. I will open up many businesses because he will do them for me with just a simple speaking. I want to, with this opening, because I want to give it two words today. In English, in human philosophy, human wisdom, all we can do, what we think, is either or. We don't have many options. Either live or die. Lazarus is living, Lazarus is dead. There's no third options, right? Come, my brother, the one your beloved is sick. If you don't come quickly, he will die. And this Lord, he's not a servant at that moment. He's, this won't, no problem, won't die. This is just no problem, just go back. And he waited. Actually, there are two Bethanies in the Bible. One is the first one, and the verses is John 1:28. The Baptist John began to baptize people. And our Lord was baptized in Bethany. That's where across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. That's the place on the east side of Jordan, above the Dead Sea. So from this Bethany to where Lazarus lives, that's the Bethany to a little southeast of Jerusalem. The distance between the two is about 40 miles. It's about 40 miles. So by those days, it would take two full days traveling on foot from that Bethany to this Bethany. So if you read chapter 10, by the end, our Lord with the disciples, they remained in this Bethany. He knew in his divinity, Lazarus would die. In his divinity, he knew everything would happen. So he stayed there. The sisters sent messengers, rushed to him. They knew he was there. Said, Lord, the one you beloved is sick. You know, if some saints come to you, brother, come. The husband and wife, they are quarreling. Come, if you don't come, they were. Most of our saints were saying, okay, let's go. Let's go help. Many times it happens. It happens to me, may happen to you too. And we are almost like a fire department or ambulatory service department. It's trying to put off things, trying to snuff difficulty or troubles. But our Lord is not such a Lord. He's the Lord, not either or. He doesn't do that business. What he does, if you want to die, he will let you die. Not only die, he wants you to become a stink. So when the messenger actually came to him, it's about that hour Lazarus died. So he stayed there for two more days. Remember? He stayed for two more days. He almost can smell the stinkiness, because the tradition of the Jews, they have to bury the dead the same day. So after 2 days, he told the disciples, our friend Lazarus slept. And the disciples can only decipher either or. Either he's getting well or he's still sick. So their presumption is, if he's sleeping, he must getting better. And then until the Lord said it plainly, our friend Lazarus died. And then the disciples' presumption will be, if he's dead, why should I have to go there anymore? Because the Jews want to stone you. But if they stone you, we are your disciples. Don't you think we're going to surround you to be your bodyguards? If they throw stones to you, and we surround you, where the stone going to fall? That's Thomas's thought. Thomas will say, okay, let's go with him. Let's die with him too. He is not saying he's going to die with Lazarus. He's saying he's going to die with the Lord. It's not a martyred thought. You see, Lord, wherever you go, like Peter said, even up to death, I will go with you. No, Thomas is sarcastically speaking. Very sarcastic. Okay, he's not talking to the Lord. He's talking to other disciples. All right, let's go. Let's go with him. Let's die with him anyway. That's their thoughts, because there's no solutions to what they are facing. When the Lord said, he's dead, let's go. Were they in a rush? No, they're not out rushing. The Lord was just taking his time. So today I want to say another word is God's hidden timetable. Our God has his own timetable. It's not dictated by human history, not commanded, ordered by your calendar. Doesn't matter if it's a Google or Android. He has his own timetable. Since I think many of you who were in the church life, we're sitting a senior there, senior here, you know that God has a hidden timetable. Saints, we need to see this. In your human life, you know there's a hidden timetable. Many things you only can give the Lord the glory. Many things happen. Doesn't matter what suffering or sickness or family, whatever issues. When the things is over, if you're truly open to the Lord, you will bow down and worship the Lord. Said, Lord, you are the Lord. You are in control. And in chapter 9, okay, I'm going to jump a few points. In chapter 9, just the Lord sovereignly arranged this blind man who was about 40 years old. Was not a young man. Was a middle-aged man. And who was born from his mother's womb as a blind person. So he was naturally born blind. He never seen the light. He never seen anything. So for the religious minds, for either or, the disciples questioned the Lord, or inquiring from the Lord, Lord, who sinned? Who sinned? Their thought is either his parents or him. So this is religious karma. In human history, human society, really a lot of karma thoughts drilled into human culture. In the true God, in our true God, there's no such a thing. Everything is for His glory under His sovereign hand. When the disciples saw the blind man, they naturally inquired from the Lord, who sinned? As a matter of fact, if from a humanity point of view, you could say his parents must have sinned. They're sinners. How can they not sin? Our defender for the blind man, at least for his blindness, is not because of his sin. Because he was impregnated as a fetus, as a baby, he was blind. He never seen a thing. But praise the Lord, this blind man had keen hearings. This is where chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 11. As a matter of fact, back to chapter 5, the Lord keep talking about a hearing. He who hear the voice of the Son of God, even though he may be dead, he shall live again. In chapter 5, the verses are too many. Hope you copy down, you read it. In chapter 5, our Lord already laid down the foundation for chapter 9 and chapter 11. He who hears the voice of the Son of God, though he may be dead, he shall live again. Though he may be blind, he shall see again. Though he may be lame, he shall walk again. Whatever you have, you need to hear the voice of the Son of God. So in chapter 9, you can see that a blind man, when his eyes opened up, praise the Lord, this blind man never had a human philosophical education. He only knows, I was blind, now I see. I don't care who that person is. He must be the Son of God. Because I never heard of anybody since the old days can open a naturally born blind man. Don't give me all the reasons. Pharisees, Jews, everybody, don't give me the reasons. I know from my experience, I was blind. Now I see. There's no such a thing as either or. I only know. I heard that guy said, anoint them, put more mud on my eyes, sent me to wash in the pool of Shiloh, and I did. And I see. No reasons. That blind man became such a listener. So when later the Lord met him again, after he was cast out, his parents, on the other hand, they worry they're going to be kicked out of the synagogue. Even though it's their son, his sight, 40-some years, was blind. Now his son can see. Even the parents, because of the religious vainglory, they even dare not to get away from either or to defend their son. They say, oh, he's come to full age, he's mature age. And you just ask him. You know, we know, we can testify, he was born blind. All these years he was blind. Now how come he can see now? We have no idea. This is a religious political correctness. And many times, a lot of Christians do that too. And then this blind man was cast out because those Pharisees told him, "You were born in sin." See, the same thought as the disciples. Who sinned? We are the disciples of Moses. You are the disciple of that guy. We don't know who he is. When the Lord met him again, asked him, "Do you believe into the Son of God?" Even though he doesn't recognize the Lord, because when he was become when he did have a sight, he did not see the Lord, but he heard the Lord. He said, "Lord, who is the Son of God that I should believe?" The Lord said, "The one who is talking to you, he is." And he fell down and worshiped him, said, "Lord, I believe." Since when you take the word of the Lord really clearly, without blemish, "Lord, I heard your voice. I heard your voice. I heard it loud and clear. I want to follow you." So for that part, you can see this blind man. Since we go back, I hope you can compare John 9 with Acts 9. Here's a blind man, naturally born blind. When he listened to the Lord, and his sight opened up. In Acts 9, there was a naturally born with a keen sight, keen hearing. That's a Saul. All his education was in religion. He's a top-notch student with the rabbi school. And he has such a keen hearing. He travels in Jerusalem, in other places, listening where there is people calling on the name of the Lord, were breaking in and arrested them. And this guy, he feel like he can see. Until on the way to Damascus, he was put to blind. So the conclusion in John 9 actually is pointing to the future Saul. If you couple these two chapters, it's really not your natural sight or your natural hearing. We needed to see who our Lord is and hear his voice. So this is my first portion. The second is our Lord is neither nor. It's not what you think. It's not what you feel. Not what I feel. It is what he wants. He is the Lord. In chapter 11, when they were still there, and the sisters send the messenger come. I don't know how the disciples feel, because before this was the feast of dedication. That's today's Jewish holiday, is Hanukkah. That's today's calendar, is December 25th. So that's a feast of dedication. The Jews were trying to stone him. So they walked away. And then sometime later, this thing happened. When the messenger came to ask him, "The Lord, basically Lazarus," they didn't call Lazarus. They didn't call him on a first name basis. They use a word, try to provoke our Lord's compassion. The one. You know, some adjectives before this. The one. His sister anointed your feet, wiped with her hair, and wet your feet with the tears. The one, the family, offered hospitality to you before. The one. You can lay out a lot of adjectives trying to provoke the Lord. You have to come.
If you don't come, you have no conscience. We treated you so well. You don't even come to take care of this sick one? The one you loved. Isn't it in our prayer many times that we do that? Some of the Jews also once prayed or petitioned in such a way, because there this centurion who was a servant was sick and sent to some of the leaders in the Jews to go talk with the brother, our Lord Jesus, come to help him. And then those people also did the same thing. Lord, he is worthy for you to do this to him because he has done this, built a synagogue, did it for our people. So please, you gotta give him this favor. Our Lord is not a Lord to do you a favor. He's the Lord of give life. He's the life-giving Lord. Amen. He's the life-giving Savior. Amen. He's not because you did some, you know, many good things. He has to do something. Not because you provided a hospitality to him. I mean, the family was so poor. There's a place to sleep, but maybe there's no pillow. Oh, think about it, what the Lord said. Even that family is so poor. In the morning, there's no breakfast. He and the disciples have to walk back to Jerusalem, empty stomach. That's why on the way over, that's a very short distance. He was trying to find a fig, because he was hungry. He cannot find anything because he was hungry. If he had a big breakfast in Lazarus' home, he wouldn't have. The Bible won't say he was hungry. The family is very poor. If you trace back, you say, Lord, how come the one you loved so much, they are so poor? Can't you give them a good job? Can't you fix their house? He has a sores. In Luke 16, it talks about Lazarus has sores. Can't you just, you can cleanse the leprosy. You cleanse the so many lepers. Can't you just touch Lazarus or speak to Lazarus to clean up his sore? Since many, many times in our heart, we question our Lord. Why didn't you do this? Why did you do that? Why didn't you do this for him? He deserves it. Why did you do this to him? He already has so much. You are still blessing him. In my heart, I did many of those years ago. I don't know about you. Our Lord is not such a Lord. Our Lord is a Lord who gives life. He is life. He is the life-giving Savior. Now today, he is a life-giving Spirit. He doesn't care you are poor, you're rich. He doesn't care you are sick, you are healthy. He is the Lord to you. When we have him, we really have everything. When he comes, you can see the disciples on one hand, the sisters, they already be in their heart between them. They'll be murmuring, complaining, talking, and even their scripts are identical. Lord, if you were here earlier, my brother would not have died. And Martha did the same thing, said that. And Mary said identical things. If you place them together, it's identical words. Wow. In their heart, they are full of either or. But the Lord said, don't you remember anything I said before? So when situation arose, when situation happens, many times we forgot what we heard. We forgot what we learned. We forgot the vision we saw. We forgot the vision we are enshrouded in us. Since this is very natural, but our Lord is not a Lord of just easily let us go. He's a Lord. He has to accomplish his purpose. Our Lord, if he doesn't accomplish his purpose, he wouldn't let us go. So he waited. His timetable is not working according to his timetable. He's working according to the Father's timetable. Again, in chapter 5, he said it very clearly. My Father has been working until now. So am I. And in chapter 11, when he was saying, where did you place him? You just answer him, here or there. You don't have to explain to him, Lord, it doesn't really matter. He's already stink. The Lord is not a Lord to listen to our explanations, for our excuses, for our making many philosophical deductions. Yes is yes. Let no be no. I think many times, saints, when we read these chapters, we really need to see the principle of how do we talk with the Lord. Martha, Mary, disciples, Jews, and many people talk with the Lord, trying to reason with him. There is only one person who never said a single word. Whatever the Lord says, he just do. That's Lazarus. When the Lord said, Lazarus, come out. He just come out. He even did not say, thank you, Lord. I was dead. Now I'm alive. Are you scared if you see such a person? All of a sudden, if we see a person walk in their door, all, you know, bound up with a handkerchief on his face, hopping in. I would say, brother, loosen him up. Let him go. Do you dare to touch him? I don't know if Lazarus took a shower or not right after that. Maybe not. Because our Lord, he's not a healer. He's a life giver. He doesn't do halfway things. He doesn't do, you know, put a cream on top of the cake. He doesn't do that. If he does, he will call a fabulous cake out of nothing. If he feed you, he will use 5 loaves and 2 fish, feed so many. He doesn't need anybody's help. He did not borrow from you and later have to return to you. No. Paul said that in Romans very clearly in chapter 9. Saints, our Lord is the Lord of no reasoning, of a Lord not either or, not according to our thoughts. He's the Lord totally eliminate our arguments. Whatever we say, he will say neither nor, but me. Neither this, nor that, nor that, nor that, but the life. Life giving spirit. Since our Lord today, let's in our prayers try not to reason with him. Try not to tell him so much. So, conclusion, Lord, it's your turn to do something. No, it's not the way, that's not the way the Lord operates. Our Lord doesn't take presumptions. Our Lord knows what's going on. He knows exactly when, where, how to do things. He knows what to do and to whom and where, when to do it. Since reading these fulfillments, we really need to have our eyes opened. Our Lord is the Lord of our God, who has created from the beginning and who will usher us into the kingdom. Now today, we need to experience Him as a life, as a life-giving spirit, as the life in all aspects, in all our daily living. He is the Lord. He is the servant. But you have to take Him as the Lord before you can experience Him as our servant. If we don't treat Him as our Lord, submit to Him, be obedient to Him, completely yield everything to Him, and put on either or, jump into neither nor, but my Lord, He won't be our servants. Since there are a lot of to share, I want to stop, and the saints in different languages, we can share. See if I missed it. I think this is good. Praise the Lord. And all the signs is trying to point and lead us to, we needed to take Him as our Lord. We needed to take His word as the reality. We need open our ears, pierce our ears to truly as instructed ears, to listen to what He's speaking. And in the Bible says, take His word literally first. Take His word. Now we have the Bible reading, and we hope we're going to continue. And hope during the summer, some saints are reading the 100 chapters of Paul's writing. And we hope in the fall, we're going to begin new classes in Bible reading. Saints, let's really have a pierced ear. And may the blood really anoint our ears, anoint our thumb, now in our toe. So in our listening, in our doing, in our walking, we can all follow His speaking. Take Him as our Lord. Amen.
Just a minute.
Okay.
You know this? Oh. This is amazing.
Amen.
Do you realize this is the same issue in Genesis?
That's right.
There were two trees.
Yes. Two trees.
Either or.
Yep.
We feel if it's good, yes.
Yes.
Lord, do that. It's good. It will be help, etc. It's not what's good. It's not what's bad. It's life.
That's right. It's life.
We don't need the Lord to take care of our sicknesses, of our weaknesses, etc., etc., etc. We need life.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.